Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live in the Day with Jay. I'm your host, Jay. Guys, thank you for joining us for yet another great show. Number to call 646-668-8743. Hopefully we got all those kinks that we had yesterday. We got all that stuff worked out, so I'm real happy for that. Got a lot to talk about, y'all. There's so much going on in the world we live in today, and that's why I named the show today, the sad times that we're living in, because we're living in sad times. We're living in times where we don't know if we can even go have a great time with our family without someone bringing some hateful acts of violence to us or around us. It's a very sad time, and I think right now the world needs a big healing right now, and we need to really get with one another and support one another in that healing process. There's a lot of bad things going on, guys. And, a lot of it's going under the radar, believe it or not. I don't understand how it can, but it is. It's going under the radar. But, I don't want people to feel like they have to live in fear also. I can't tell you. I say this. What I feel is going on is nothing but hate. Nothing but hate. And in this day and time, we ain't got room and we ain't got time to be exercising no hate for no one or entertaining anybody's hate. This is that process where I tell you that we need to get our communities back. This is that process I told you that we need to pay attention to what's going on with our young people. Our young people wilding. Our young people are very confused right now. Our young people are searching for some answers, and we're going to have to give them some guidance, because there's a lot of things going on right now that is just not right. It's not right. I'm going to play some clips today, and I hope it gets your mind thinking. And I'm going to play you a clip. What I tell you what, wonder if I told you everything you think you knew about the death of Dr. King is probably not what you think it is. What if I told you we've been hating on each other for so long that what you think you know, you don't? I'm going to play a clip later on, and I just want your opinion on it. I just want your opinion. I told you that I'm going to give you the information, and I want you to come up with your own conclusions. I'm not trying to tell you this is the truth. I'm not trying to tell you this is false. What I'm telling you is information. Take it and do what you want to with it. Examine it. Rationalize it. Try to understand it, or whatever the case may be. Number to call, 646-668-8743. That number again is 646-668-8743. You guys are definitely, and I mean definitely, live in the day with Jay.
All night and go until
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Greenlight Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Hey, baby. But it only Mr. Sacks like. I love the way your eyes
what's happening? This Chase Amir, and you're listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Let's get it.
Hey, shawty, got it from the get-go. Get like me, no, I'm pimpin' on bank, go. Big bank, little bank, big bank, little bank.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Now go get him, daddy.
DJ.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call 646-668-8743. That number again is 646-668-8743. Guys, first of all, I want to say real quick that I am really anticipating another Independent Artist Festival this year, and I'm hoping that we can get it done really soon, like the November, December time. I am going to talk to some people about it, but I think that we could actually have another Independent Artist Festival in Gastonia this year really soon. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And we will see what we can do with having that. So, all right. Now, before I went to a break, I said a little bit about I was going to play a couple of clips. There's one in particular clip I want to play right now, and I'm going to tell you why I'm playing this clip. I've played it before on the show, but I don't think that people really, really understood what it is that the late, great Dick Gregory was saying to young black people. He was saying some things that he really felt needed to be said, and I want you guys to listen to what he's saying in this interview about his message to young black people. So listen to this, and we're going to talk about it a minute, and then we're gonna move on to some more stuff. But I want you to really listen to what Dick Gregory is saying. So here's Dick Gregory and the advice to young black people.
And don't make the mistake that most of your mothers and fathers made. When I wake up in the morning, my prayer is not thank God I woke up. The Ku Klux Klan woke up this morning. The drug pushers woke up this morning. I thank God that I made another 24 hours in the most vicious, nasty, hateful, insane nation that's ever existed, with my wits, without hating, without being bitter, without being mean. And I thank God that I survived 24 hours in that type of atmosphere with the type of amusement and friendliness. And so I would say to young folks, don't be in a state of denial of the racism and sexism, but don't let that block you. Don't teach your children that you have to be twice as good as a white. That's an awful thing to teach your children.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying because you're black, white America has a right to change your dollar for 94 cents. But we used to get 50 cents, and before that we used to get nothing. Young folks have to say, we don't want more change for a dollar. Excuse me, we want a full dollar's change for a dollar, or this cash register will never ring again.
Yeah.
I would also like for young blacks to understand that about 83% of all employment happened with small businesses. And excuse me, if you don't have a small business, then you have nobody to work for you. And I would say to young blacks, get into entrepreneurship. We will never catch up with white America till we get into business, because there's a thing called tax write-offs. And if you have a job and come together, 10 of you, and open up a corporation and have somebody run it, you hire somebody to run it, but you have tax write-offs. 98% of people that fly first class on airplanes would not be there if that wasn't a write-off. And yet, on that first class, they gave away last year $800 million, almost $1 billion of free whiskey. But if a welfare mother asked for some apple juice for the baby, she'd laugh at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say entrepreneurship. And then understand that we will never survive as a group until we get into communities and not neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
A community.
I'm going to stop it right there because he said something that was very crucial to our communities. He said a couple of things. One, he said that we need to get into entrepreneurship. We need to support black businesses. How many times have I been saying that on this show? And how many times have we seen black businesses come and go, especially in the Gastonia area? And the reason they've gone is because they haven't had the support that they need. See, that's what I was telling you. You have to stop looking inside the box. You got to look outside the box. The next thing he said that was very crucial, he said that we have to stop looking in neighborhoods and start looking in communities. Did y'all get that? Did you understand what he meant by that? We got to quit thinking about what's across the street from us or what's on the next block. We got to think about our communities as a whole. And the community he means is the black community. We have to bring the black community up to the status that they should rightfully be at right now. And that's success. But if we can't do that, well, we can't do that, that is, if we continue to hate one another, if we continue to hate on one another, if we continue to not give each other that helping hand we need. And I'm real quick, I want you guys to go to TJ Austin's website or his Facebook page, and I want you to check out what Abundant Life Ministries, he's the pastor of that church, what they're doing in the community. They're having a gun. They want people to bring their guns to them, no questions asked. They're not doing this for a weekend. They're not doing this for 2 weekends or a month. They're doing this for a whole year. They want you to bring your guns. Turn your guns in. Get some of these guns off the streets. They want you to turn your guns in, and they're going to turn them into the local police department. No questions asked is what I was told. That is getting your community together. That is looking out for your community. That is some of the things that we need to really start focusing on. Yes, we've all had a couple of laughs and jokes these last couple of weeks on social media with everything that's going on social media with our elections, our upcoming elections, that is, and all the other stuff that we got going on in our communities. But it's time to stop laughing. It's time to stop joking. And it's time to start putting things together. Man, I can remember growing up over in Dallas and just seeing some of the young people. I was young too, but seeing some of the young people, how they really respected the elderly in the community and the pride, took pride in the community. Why we don't do that anymore? Number to call, 646-668-8743. Caller, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Albany, Georgia, via Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Look, I was listening to you, your commentary and your admiration for the buy back program or the give back program.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with that is persons in the white community, they don't have such a program. They have no idea of that type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to look deeper in this situation that we are witnessing is that they are actually amping up for a confrontation. When you look at the fact that they've been stockpiling weapons for years, and we're talking about elaborate weapons, okay? These guys come out of the military. They start their own organization. They start their own mercenary organizations where they call themselves contractors, and they go back overseas, and they take care the special interest business overseas. All right. Now, that being said, for our community to buy back the few guns that we have, you know, a little 38 here, 9mm there, AK-47 if you're lucky, these guys per capita have 9 guns per person. They have been fixing themselves up for a confrontation, and their argument is a confrontation with the government if the government ever decides to try to take their weapons. That's always their argument, all right? But hence the current situation that we are in, that is likely not to be the confrontation at all. The confrontation is likely to be with you and people that look like you and people of color. That's my comment. The broader picture in our community is to, and not to contradict what you're saying, just my opinion. The broader picture in my opinion is for us to begin to come together one more time like we once were, even with other persons of color. For years, and we've seen it gotten better now, but for years, black people have had this ongoing confrontation with people of Hispanic heritage for something that happened way back in World War II, especially in L.A., all right? Now, my hope is that we can come together with all people of color, because when you look at a broader spectrum of what we're up against, the white nationalists, the white nationalists, I am going to go ahead and say it. Even white people pretending to be Christians. All right. See, all of this has been exposed. All of this has been exposed in the past two or three years. And they've chosen sides. So not to take up much more of your time, I just want to get that out and hear your opinion on that.
Okay. Now, I understand where you're coming from. Let me ask you a quick question. I know you were saying the white people who said that they're Christians. What about the black ones that say they're Christians that kill each other, that destroys our communities? How do we combat that in our communities? Because that's been a stigmatism in our communities for a very long time, and it's been hurting our communities. How do we combat that?
Well, now that is the issue that has been plaguing us since the death of Dr. King, if you will, but probably before then. But, you know, okay, let's start with the death of Dr. King. All right, before that time and era, we never heard the term of black-on-black crime. Not before his death. We as a black culture, especially during the time when we were Negroes, we had a collective effort of proving who we were in society, and trying to prove the fact that we were a dignified person or a dignified race. All right. So since the death of Dr. King, before that time, black on black crime or black on black shootings was never an issue. All right. Now, going forward, what do we do about that? Well, it's going to take a lot of strategizing. It's going to take a lot of people coming together, especially the churches. Now,
I agree.
When I say that, thank you.
I agree with that.
Because when I say that, you know, any huge organization like churches and mega churches and things of that sort have a tendency to fall in the political spectrum of things. You know, they say what they feel comfortable that need to be said in order to keep the parishioners and the congregation in their churches to keep the tithes coming in. All right. Now, from my perspective, and I'm 63 years old, so I've been observing this for quite some time. The fact that when it comes down to salvation and the forgiveness of sins, that seems to be the call to order when it comes down to the churches, as opposed to trying to gather ourselves and our mental thinking collectively as one person, as one culture.
Right.
You know, Look, we as a culture have allowed too much. That's right. We have allowed too much to infiltrate and to filter into our system, such as gangster rap music, the sale of drugs to our own selves. You know, the fact that no one has ever tried to harness the idea that when a man have a child by a woman, that you know it's all right to play the pimp role and keep going on and not stay there for your child and your family, and mm-hmm. and not knowing what the real role of a father is in the family. So, to answer your question, our problem is actually fundamental issues. We lack fundamentals, and we got to start back from square one. Now, when you talk about the white nationalists and this movement, the alt-right movement, Steve Bannon. See, Steve Bannon was supposed to be in that office with Donald Trump. They was buddies, and there was a collective understanding that you and I, we're going to run this country, all right? But Donald Trump's ego got in the way, and because he was selected or elected, however you want to choose it, by the people. And he pushed Steve Bannon out. But it was supposed to be their country. All right. So that being said, we are actually in dire straits. We are in emergency mode. Okay. Now, black people have to find something more interesting than Facebook, playing
yes.
spades, going to the club, shaking butts and booties and all that. Man, we are in a mess because they are coming. Look, they are coming. I heard a few years ago that the Trump organization and the like were trying to set us back 50 years. And at that time I heard that, I didn't want to believe that. But as it has turned out, in as short as only 2 years, we are headed in that direction.
I don't know if it's as much, you know, his agenda than what we have been doing to ourselves for the last 50 years. We haven't made it hard for anybody to come in and just give us the knockout blow in the community because we continue to hate one another. I'm not going to say hate. We continue to go against one another. We continue to have a strong sense of jealousy for one another. And I don't know where the end of that road is when it comes to that. But I do know that our generation, I do know that we haven't given the knowledge and discipline that we should have been given so that they will be prepared to combat this spiritually and mentally. We have left some of the young people out there to fend for themselves. And they're not doing a good job of it, but mm-hmm. I do see the ones coming after them bringing a sense of peace and harmony and an understanding of what success and what being free really means.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said about our community and what we have done and what needs to happen. I agree with a lot of that. But I think at some point in time, we have to start following a blueprint for success and stop pointing the finger so much. I know that's hard to do, and I know that's hard to say, and a lot of people are not going to understand why I say that. Let's stop pointing the finger so much and start looking, because I do believe that a lot of it used to be the outside, the other man is doing this to us. And right now, they're still doing things to us. Don't get me wrong. But right now, we are internally imploding ourselves.
Well, let me agree with you right there, if I may. Let me shock to you real quick by agreeing with you and saying, I'm 63, all right? And the generation before me, which was like the generations that fought in World War II, they have mm-hmm. been noted as being the greatest generation, all right? All right, my generation, after the death of Dr. King, My generation, I describe as being the lost generation with no direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you say that we somebody let us down or we didn't do enough, my generation let you all down. Yes, we did. Because we allow when they assassinated Dr. King, all right, I don't know if they understood that by killing Dr. King, what you have, what they're dealing with now is a sheer backlash of them assassinating Dr. King. You know, the anger that the black men, the black society still have today. What I'm trying to say is Dr. King and his movement gave us a purpose.
Okay.
It gave us a purpose, all right? So at his demise, we was like lost sheep. Now, one would say that who really needs a leader? Well, I mean, back in that time, it was apparent that leadership of the black man was very necessary. All right. Now, so the last thing you said that we need a new purpose. We need new guidance. And so your generation have to come to grips with the aftermath of everything I just said.
You're right.
Come to grips. Yes, sir. Have to come to grips with everything that I just said and find a way. And that's the hardest part. The hardest part is to find a way to communicate to the other young brother. Okay? Because, you know, we all understand now that we live in the information age. All right? And one of the tactics of today's time, one of the strategies of the day is misinformation.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a lot of it going around.
Surely. And so, and that being known by you and people of your generation, you have to incorporate that into your strategy. Now, it has been my observance that persons of the day, generations of the day, have what I call the microwave brain. All right, which means that if you don't say something to them where they can get it immediately, then you're gonna lose their interest.
Okay.
So we got to find a way. It's not in what you say. It's the approach then in which we go about it. So we got to be just as strategic as they are. You know, while we're in the club dancing, playing cards, and all that kind of stuff that we're doing on a Friday night, they strategize. They are on the back channels, on the internet. Look, when the Tea Party fell short, the alt-right movement came up, and so. For anybody who don't know what it is I'm talking about, I implore you, and you owe it to yourself, to oneself, to do research and find out what it is that we're up against. Like they believe in opposition research. That's what we should be doing also.
I totally appreciate your call. I get what you're saying. And that's why I created this show. So that we could give them the truth and not so much misinformation, and we just gotta learn how to trust one another, and I just don't think that we're ready to do that. After almost 500 years of bondage, we still don't want to trust one another. Thank you, sir, for coming on the show. I really understand a lot of what this young man just said. A lot of what he said made sense. When are we going to start paying attention to what people are saying and start applying it to some healthy kickbacks in our communities? We might just beg to differ on the gun issue, because I do believe that we need to get some of them off the streets. But I do respect and understand his position on that. And that's what it's all about. We got to be able to agree to disagree sometimes. That don't mean that he's wrong and I'm right, or I'm right and he's wrong. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means we see it differently. But we want the same things. We want the success for our people. We want the success for our community. We want the success for all young people of color. Now, don't get me wrong. I want the success for young people of color. That's just what it is. It is what it is. Number to call 646-668-8743. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
There's no stopping, what's the use in trying? Ooh, give me chills. There's no stopping, what's the use in trying? Ooh, give me chills.
Again, that's 704-524-4058. 4058. Mentors inspiring males for success. Gastonia's hope for the future.
What's up, my people? This is Big Easy from K-Cup Records. You're listening to Live in a Day with Jay Radio Show. Keep your heads ringing.
You are now listening to Live in a Day with Jay. Now go get 'em, Daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 646-668-8743. That number again is 646-668-8743. There is a clip that I want to play for you guys. Well, there's actually two. I think I'm going to play one now, and we're going to play another one on tomorrow's show where it talks about, it gets into Dr. King and some things surrounding Dr. King's demise, and I think you guys will find it very interesting. But first, let me play this clip, and it talks about it's one of his more famous speeches. It might have a little music to it in the background. I don't think so, but it might. So don't let that trip you out. But he done a speech, and it's titled "If I Had Sneezed." And I want you to listen to what he says in this speech. And it's going to give you a clear understanding of how we have been thinking about each other these last, I'll say these last 70 years. And you will be surprised at the culprits. Listen to this. It's called "If I Had Sneezed" by Dr. King.
And I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. And while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing, and I said, "Yes." The next minute, I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I'd received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. Said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School. You say, while it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. And I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960. And students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream, and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962 when Negroes in Albany, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. Black people, Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation, brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed.
That was Dr. King speaking on what happened to him at a book signing. Now, I tell y'all all the time that I am for the advancement of my people. I love my people. I love my people. That ain't saying I don't love all people, but I love my people. And I want to see my young people, I want to see them succeed. I want to see them get the just due that they deserve. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to work together. It's going to take all of us to start not only saying that we care about one another, but start showing it. This was a black woman that come up and stabbed Dr. King, about killed him. She just about killed him. And he was signing a book to give her. He used the word demented. If you don't know what that word means, I want you to look that word up. Because in this day and time, there's a lot of people walking around demented. There's a lot of people that hide their demented thoughts. But for the most part, we're seeing a lot of demented actions from people right now. I told you guys, that we have to have a blueprint for success for our young people. I don't think it's going to be the ones, the millennials, as they call them. I don't think it's going to be them. But I think the millennials are going to set this up so perfectly aligned that the Zers, and I think that's what you call them, that's after the millennials, I think they're Zers, called Zers. They're going to be the ones that fix this. just like Dr. King got all those letters from the president, the vice president, he didn't remember what it said because it meant nothing to him. But when he got this letter from this little white girl and her words to him, well, I heard that you would have died if you sneezed because the knife in your chest. And her words were, I'm so glad that you did not sneeze. Children has no filter. Children see no color to love. Children see no color to pain and sorrow. And this is what is going to have to happen for it to be a successful journey for our young people. And that's what I think the Zers have. Don't get me wrong. I love my people. Unequivocally, I love my people. I don't even know if I said that word right. But anyway, I love my people. But it's going to take for us to show that love that we ask God to give us every day. And his love is not black. His love is not white. His love is not green, blue, purple, orange, red. It's love. And we have to quit putting stipulations on love and the boundaries of what love can do. If we start really, really looking at one another as people and not Muslims or Christians or Jews or Buddhists or black or white or Native American or Latino, whatever. If we stop looking at each other like that, we're going to get so much further. And for all my Christian brothers and sisters out there, if you really believe what Jesus come here and commanded and lived, then you would do a little bit better in how you treat other people. You would do a little bit better in your relationships. You would do a little bit better in your business deals. You would do a little bit better in everything you say God has brought to you. To my Muslim brothers and sisters, you would do a whole lot better if you come out from the mosque and start letting people know who you are. Start letting people know what you think, how you feel, how you love. We got to start understanding each other, and we have to start accepting differences we have with one another, because if we don't, we're going to continue to fight one another, and we're not going to get anywhere. Somebody somewhere is sitting on a big mountain somewhere just giggling at all of us because we hadn't gotten it together yet. We hadn't figured out that we don't need to fight one another. We hadn't figured it out yet. We quote it all the time. We love to quote Dr. King. We love to quote that the only thing that brings out darkness is love. We love to quote him, but we don't live it. We love to take the day off when he's for his birthday in January. But what do? We sit down and watch TV or do something stupid and not make good use of time. For those of you who don't do anything in your community or do anything for young people or do anything to bring people together, just go to work on Dr. King holiday. Don't even stay out. You don't even deserve to stay out. Just go to work. Go to work. Because it's things like that probably making him roll over in his grave now. We got a lot of before going on. For those of you who want to make a difference, by putting some sort of investment in great programs in your community, put in investments in this radio show. I give you a platform. But I got so many people that don't care about that. They just going about their business. They get what I'm saying, but they're going about their business. And that's okay, too, because I'm not going to stop because those few won't support the show. There's a bigger picture involved. And that picture is definitely making sure that we are setting our young people up for success. I don't know what else to tell you, but I do know that if we don't continue, or if we don't start, because we hadn't even been doing it, if we don't start to help one another, look out for one another, and be there for one another, then we're fighting a losing battle. I don't care how you look at it. We're fighting a losing battle. We can't just come together when there's tragedy in our communities or in the areas we live. We can't come together just for that. We need to be together as one every day. I know this is not a harmonious world we live in. And I know everybody's not going to get along, but everybody should. Everybody should. You got to remember we have young people watching us. I already feel like we have not given them what they need. We can change it. It's not too late. Look, if you don't tell anybody else anything, make sure you go to somebody and tell them you love them, because you know tomorrow is not promised. And we know that anything can happen in the night until day of the next day. So tell someone you love them. And I love you guys with the greatest love I know. It's the love of God, because he gives it to me each and every day. I do this show for you, as I tell you each and every day. I do this show for you because I want you to have it. And I appreciate those that continue to check out the show. You know, we're going really strong right now. You can actually hear the show on iHeartRadio. You can hear it on Spotify. You can hear it on Spreaker, Blog Talk. And we're trying to work on a new platform in Gastonia. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's show. Speaking of tomorrow's show, I'm going to have my wife on the show with me, so we're going to see how that we're going to see how that goes tomorrow. She's wanting to and it's Free Fall Friday, and I hope you guys definitely will tune in for that. So as I tell you each and every day, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.